It's time now for the Route County Commissioners Radio Roundtable.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Route County Commissioners Monthly Roundup. My name is Amanda Shepherd, and I will be your host today. I'm here with Commissioners Melton, Corrigan, and Redmond, and we will start today with a question for our chair, Commissioner Melton. Commissioner Melton, April is National County Government Month, and this year's theme is Counties Thrive. Can you highlight some services that the county provides that community members may not be aware of?
Sure. Happy to do that. I think one important thing that folks don't always know or recognize is that counties are a political subdivision of the state. What that means is there's a very specific list of powers, duties, and authorities that counties have. And we're not allowed to do anything that we're not authorized by the state to do in terms of those powers. So Route County and most other counties have 9 elected officials, including the 3 commissioners, as well as a number of others. Many folks may not realize that we elect a surveyor, we elect a coroner, an assessor, a treasurer, and of course, we all are aware of the sheriff as well. And so some of the list of things that I think are pretty interesting, Route County does restaurant inspections locally. That's a service that otherwise communities have to rely on the state for. So that's an important service we provide for the business community. We do water and air quality monitoring. Both of those are through our environmental health department. Our GIS department does a significant amount of mapping for various purposes, and people can come in and request maps to be printed from them. Our human services department, of course, provides many, many services, including financial support for families. They collect child support payments or find folks that are not paying their child support. They investigate child abuse reports. We also, this is something folks know, but I think it's always worth reminding, is that we maintain over 600 miles of county roads. So those are roads that are outside of the towns and cities. And maintaining includes gravel, it includes plowing, it includes dust suppression, all the roads you may be used to access your favorite recreational sites in the county. Our treasurer's department, the treasurer is one of our elected officials. That department is responsible for collecting taxes on behalf of all the taxing districts, not just the counties, but also the school districts, the fire districts, the municipalities, and they collect taxes and then are the distributed for them. We are responsible for controlling noxious weeds. This was something that was a surprise to me, but this is actually a requirement of county governments, is controlling weeds. And noxious weeds are those that could be damaging for multiple reasons, but one of the primary is certain weeds can really create a lot of problems for agricultural operations. So controlling those weeds is really important. And then the last thing I'll mention, I could go on all day, but the last thing I'll mention is that the county also operates our 911 dispatch center. And so all calls that emergency and non-emergency that come in that require dispatch. So that's not just for county sheriff, but that's for all of the police departments, the fire departments. They also support some of our nonprofits in town, advocates, which supports folks who are experiencing domestic violence. They're able to connect people there. And that is a service that the county provides as well.
Thank you for that list of all the services the county provides. And I know that wasn't an exhaustive list, but that was just some of the things that the county is involved in. Thank you. Commissioner Corrigan, the new Health and Human Services building is progressing each day. Can you remind our listeners which departments will be housed in that building and bring us up to speed on the building project as a whole?
It is for Health and Human Services. It would be for our Human Services Department and for our Public Health Department. We determined several years ago that the existing building for Human Services was really not adequate to the job anymore. It was very old, had quite a history. It used to be the home of the Visiting Nurses Association. I think before that, it might have been a hospital. I think it had a number of uses. through the years, but it was in very poor repair. And we determined that it needed to be replaced. About that time, we set up our public health department, services that we had been outsourcing for a number of years, and it seemed like an opportunity to build a new building that would house both of those organizations. And there's quite a bit of crossover in the services that public health and human services provide. So we made the decision to move ahead with the construction of the new building. It's moving along quite well. We started out last fall with excavation, concrete, and we started doing a little bit of steel work here in the last month or so. We expect to see the big delivery of steel for the building to go vertical on or about April 18th. So towards the end of the month here, I think we'll actually see the building rise up out of the dirt and start to take on its permanent shape. We are still on track to have the building completed by March of next year, just about this time next year, where our departments will be able to move in and take occupancy of the building. We're really excited about it. I think it's a building that the community can be proud of, and happy to report that we are still remaining within budget, even in spite of a number of the challenges we've had with the escalation of construction prices. We're in good shape. We're moving forward and really getting excited about a grand opening next year.
Well, I think we all look forward to seeing the building rise up in the next months. Commissioner Redman, I have heard you discuss the Office of Just Transition in recent meetings. Can you tell us about that office and how it may have an impact on our community?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Well, we all know OJT, and maybe we all don't know, stands for the Office of Just Transition. And this office was set up by the governor to ease the transition of communities that have been reliant on coal and fossil fuel power generation, which Rout County is one. You know, with the 20-mile coal mine and the Hayden Station, which had originally had a PUC scheduled closing date of 2038, which was moved up to 2027, which made it top of the priority, something that had to be dealt with sooner rather than later. So we've been able to work with the Office of Just Transition. They have been very supportive and have stood behind us and provided resources for our region to move forward. And they have basically kind of broken it down into three sections. There's what they call the community bucket, which is direct aid to our communities. There's $8 million in that bucket. We in our area have received or scheduled to receive about $2.5 million of that. As our projects are moving forward, the first community to present was the town of Hayden, and they presented a project which is basically an industrial park, a manufacturing cluster, and their submission was approved by OJT. They have been awarded $900,000 and will be moving forward with that project. They have already had four companies sign letters of commitment to move into that industrial park. And so they're going to use the money from OJT, and they're also planning to leverage that against federal funds. And the plan is to have all the infrastructure in the ground so that when companies come into that, they can just build their building. The roads will be there, water, sewer will be there, electric will be there for them to hook up, and they'll be able to move forward. So that's really exciting. There are eight other partners in this area that will be part of that group, and we have named ourselves the Northwest Colorado Development Council. And that is the three counties of Moffitt, Rout, and Rio Blanco, and all of the municipalities there within. Each municipality will have a project of its own, and we are looking at 2 to 3 projects as a region. Very exciting time now that the projects are coming together. They've been presented. As I said, Hayden has been approved. We're waiting to hear from the other partners. So this is broken down really into what they call three buckets. So you have the community bucket, which is $6 million direct assistance to communities, central project and investor bucket, which will work with people on time-sensitive projects that need to move forward, there's $1.6 million there. And what really got us started is there is the administration bucket, which is some $400,000. A lot of the smaller communities, you know, the Rangeleys, the Yampas, they have just enough capacity to run their government. And for them to move further, they were going to need not only technical assistance, administrative assistance, and grant writing assistance. So we hired a consultant who is Upsize Marketing. She's a certified economic developer, and she's been on the ground here for 2 months, meeting with the partners, understanding our community, speaking with the stakeholders in our community, from the schools to the business community, to understand the community that she's working with. Very exciting times. Things are really just starting to get going. And when I look at what we've been able to accomplish in just under a year, it's exciting times. Let's be honest. We had three counties that were in competition with each other for jobs, services, and grants. We came together so that we would not duplicate efforts. We would not be in open competition with each other, and made a commitment to share information, good and bad. You know, if someone is doing something successful, share that with the group. If someone else has run into a roadblock that didn't work, please share that with the group. So we have got some capacity together. We have some administration support, and I will say that I've been very pleased by the support coming from the state of Colorado. When the governor came up to our area with the original OJT tour, he asked what we would be needing as a community. And, you know, I spoke to him at that time saying this needs to be a bottom-up, community-driven process, which he agreed with. But I also mentioned to him, we're small communities. We don't have the expertise, the funding to move forward with this. And when we got to the point of having plans together, would the state be a partner with us? Well, I'm very happy to say that the state and the federal government have put time, money, and energy into our region to help us move forward. And as we move forward, you will see projects starting to roll out. We will make a point to keep you posted and informed, and we are open to input and insight. Thank you.
It really sounds like the collaboration that has come out of this will benefit all of the partners. So I'm excited to see what comes next. Commissioner Melton, can you provide a general overview of the Climate Action Plan and some of the goals for 2022?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Climate Action Plan has been adopted by Route County, the town of Yampa, the town of Oak Creek, the town of Hayden, and the city of Steamboat Springs jointly. And we have formed a Climate Action Plan Collaborative Board, which includes representatives from each of those communities, as well as some community representatives who applied and were selected. So that board is really tasked with trying to coordinate the implementation of the Route County Climate Action Plan. And that Climate Action Plan was completed over about a year-long process, and in the end identified six key sectors to target in terms of strategies. So that's energy, transportation, land use, waste, economic, as well as accountability, accountability referring to accountability for the actions identified in the plan. As of right now, each of the partners in that Climate Action Plan Collaborative are working on their own strategies, with some work going on around really setting up kind of the, honestly, the boring part of the collaborative, but is very important. So it's setting up kind of processes and bylaws and some of those types of things so that we can really hit the ground running on coordinated efforts, as well as those efforts that we're taking on individually. So again, each of the partners kind of has their own efforts around the Climate Action Plan taking place. We received an update from our environmental health director the other day about the progress that Route County staff is making on some of the goals, as we had asked them to do through the budget process. So the county is, for example, moving forward with some energy audits and looking at the possibilities of decarbonization for county buildings. We're looking at installing infrastructure to prepare to convert the vehicles that Route County owns to being electric. We're participating with the City of Steamboat and the City of Craig on looking at regional transit and how to support that. There is an organics recovery study going on that we are funding in conjunction with the City of Steamboat. And we've been working on some waste diversion efforts as well in partnership with the Sustainability Council. So those are some of the items that the county is taking on. And really, that's the vision for how we move forward with the Climate Action Plan, is that each of the partners has their own pieces that they're working on. And then that Climate Action Plan Collaborative is really about coordinating those activities, as well as identifying opportunities for bigger types of projects that we might do together. And so the goals for 2022 really include establishing that collaborative, as well as each of the partners having their own goals that they're working toward, like the ones that I just mentioned for the county.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Corrigan, I noticed that we have had several community meetings in March about a cooperative for solar. And I'm wondering if you can talk to our listeners about this cooperative and how they might get more information or get involved if they are interested.
Yeah, thanks for that, Amanda. I'm pretty excited about it. So there's a national nonprofit organization called Solar United Neighbors, and their focus is on helping to expand access for solar installations to folks that might not otherwise be able to afford to do it. And they have come into Northwest Colorado and are helping to set up what's being called the Northwest Colorado Solar Cooperative. And conceptually, the way this works is they will bring together a number of people that will sign up because they're interested in potentially having solar panels put on their roof or even a remote array, a ground-mounted array to provide electricity for their homes. And the idea is if you get enough people to show interest, then the cooperative would vet and select one contractor that they could work with that would come up and provide estimates to the individuals that are a part of the cooperative. They're thinking in terms of anywhere from 20 to 50 individuals that might want to have an installation done at their house. And once they have that critical mass of people that have shown interest, then the contractor would come up and provide estimates to each one of the individual homeowners to do an installation. The idea being, of course, that it would be the economy of scale for one contractor to be able to come up in one building season and do that many installations all in one geographic area. And these cooperatives have shown the ability to save quite a bit of money for those individuals that are looking at doing the installation. One of the great advantages of doing a solar installation this year is there is a 26% federal tax credit available to anybody that completes an installation by the end of the year. So to just put that into some quick perspective, an installation that might cost, say, $40,000, by the time you take your federal tax credit, your actual cost is only a little bit less than $30,000. When you run those numbers using current cost of electricity, that becomes a pretty compelling investment for people to make and get a good return on their money. Yappa Valley Electric allows these installations to tie in to their grid, and they have a net metering program because there are times when the sun's not shining and you won't be generating enough electricity to power your own home. During those times, you'd be free to draw electricity from the grid to keep your house powered up. And then in other times of the year when there's lots of sunshine, you'll be returning power to the grid, and the Yappa Valley Electric will then net out those numbers. So if you build an array that will produce enough electricity to meet your current power demand, there would be no additional cost from Yappa Valley Electric other than their monthly fee to be connected to the network. I'm personally planning on participating in this. I've run the numbers for myself, and at the current cost of electricity, I certainly expect to receive a return on my investment. And that return will only grow over time as the cost of electricity goes up. So to me, this is a classic win-win situation. It'll be good for me if I can have this solar array installed, but it'll be good for the environment because I will have reduced that much greenhouse gases by virtue of generating my own electricity. So folks that are interested in getting involved, they can go to the Solar United Neighbors website. And at that website, there's a link where you can click to join the local co-op. We expect to see this move forward with the selection of a contractor, hopefully later this spring, estimates coming from the contractor earlier in the summer, and installations taking place late summer and fall.
Thank you for all of that information. I know what we were talking about, solar for families or individuals, property owners. Has there been any discussion about using solar for county buildings?
Well, in fact, we just recently completed a pretty good-sized array out at the Apa Valley Regional Airport, which will go a long ways towards offsetting a lot of their costs for solar arrays. I know the county's also involved with a cooperative that's being built out in Craig, and we will be receiving some of those benefits of that solar array as well. And there may be others, I'm not sure. Well, we do have, for many years, we've had a solar array on top of our Justice Center. And now that was built some 20 years ago or so. In the not too far distant future, we'll probably be looking at upgrading those solar panels to more modern, more efficient panels. And we're certainly going to continue to look for every opportunity on county facilities to install solar arrays where they make sense.
Thank you. Commissioner Redmond, it's never too early to start talking about fire mitigation. What updates can the community expect to see in the Community Wildfire Protection Plan? And are there specific efforts that are already in the works or planned?
Yes, actually, we're in the process of rewriting the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. We were able to get a BRIC grant, which will help us with the cost of that study, and we're moving forward with that as we speak. And part of that will be bringing on a full-time consultant manager of the Route County Wildfire Mitigation Council. And this individual will be tasked with updating and writing our CWPP, which is basically the plan that outlines where resources will be kept, will outline evacuation routes, critical infrastructure through GIS mapping. So it is a very comprehensive plan, and hopefully will protect our community for the next 5 to 10 years. But as you were saying, it's never too early to start talking about wildfire mitigation. So I'd like to take this opportunity to ask our residents to go ahead and register for the Route County Emergency Notification System. Now, wildfires do not always happen during the day. And in the past, wildfires would lay down at night. But from working with fire professionals and their education, I understand that our fire nature is changing. Fires running downhill at night, doing activities they've never seen before. Things that we used to take for granted, we cannot. We need to be able to prepare for the unexpected. So with fires happening and moving at night, it would be good for everybody to get registered, because if a fire is encroaching on you at night when you're sleeping, I want you to have notification so that you can evacuate yourself and your family safe. And I'd also like to inform you that the Route County Wildfire Mitigation Council annually holds a wildfire mitigation conference. And this year, it will be Saturday, April 30th at CMC. And I would encourage homeowners, HOA heads, basically anybody, come to this conference. We will teach you what you need to do to protect your own space and to make you aware of the things that you need to have ready in case you need to evacuate. I mean, there's certain important papers that you will need. A lot of people that live in a place where they are in fear of wildfire will have what they call a go bag pack, so that if something happens, you can grab the kid, the dog, throw in the car along with the bag, which will hopefully have the important papers and what you will need to be out of your house. This is serious. And I'm here to protect not only property, but lives. And I don't care if you want to call it climate change, drought, whatever. Things are changing, and we need to be prepared to deal with these changes. Also, would like to inform you that we now have a website up, and you can register for the World Conference Fire Conference there. And it is route.wildfire.gov. wildfire, all one word, .org. So it just went up earlier this week, and I invite everybody to go to that website, check it out, see what you can learn. And if you see that we're short something, provide us with some feedback. But just recently came back from a wildfire watershed conference in Grand Junction, and there's a lot of very interesting things that are about to happen in our area. I want you to be aware that there will be some controlled burns happening, and I know that scares us all, but the idea is burn out those fuels, that fuel ladder, and protect our watershed and our trees. And we will be seeing more of that in the years to come as we're doing more and more protection of our forest. So a little smoke in the early spring will be probably better than having our skies blanketed with smoke all summer. So I'm going to have to ask you to bear up with that, but it's all to protect our forests and ourselves. It was interesting at this convention. I learned Colorado is a headwater state. While we may think of Arizona, New Mexico, and California as using our water, Colorado being a headwater state feeds 18 states water. It's pretty serious. And if we don't protect our watersheds and our national forests, because as a state, 85% of Coloradans depend on water that comes from forested watersheds. So if we don't take care of this situation, we're not going to have any water, and neither will 18 other states. So very, very important work, very serious work. And I know sometimes you don't like the message we give you, 5-foot defensible space around your home, but I'd rather have you cut that back than have you homeless.
Thank you for that. I just wanted to end today by opening it up to see if there's anything anyone else would like to talk about.
I'd love to just recognize recording this on April 5th. And today we had a slew of proclamations that we signed today, and all on behalf of organizations doing really, really important work. And so that included Sexual Assault Awareness Month, Child Abuse Prevention Month, Public Health Week, as well as Month of the Young Child. And I just want to take a moment to just, you know, those types of things can feel really just routine, which is fine. And they're important things to raise awareness in our community, but really just recognize the organizations doing really important health and human services work for the residents of Route County. I don't know why they all recognize April as their month for advocacy. I think it's just a really great opportunity to recognize all the really important work that goes into keeping children and adults in our community healthy and safe. And just want to thank all those folks for their great work.
Thanks for that, Commissioner Melton. That is important work, and I'm glad that we're able to recognize and support it. Amanda, a lot of the things we talked about today are things that are very local to Route County, but I think it would be helpful for our constituents to know that all three of us commissioners participate in any number of statewide and national organizations looking at issues of importance to Route County. So I've jotted out a quick list here. We belong to and participate individually and collectively in organizations like Colorado Counties Incorporated, Counties and Commissioners Acting Together, Club 20, the Northwest Colorado Council of Governments, the Colorado Association of Ski Towns, and the National Association of Counties, among many others, frankly. We regularly interact with our federal delegation in Congress about issues there, and we even have some contacts within the governor's office where we are able to help influence what's going on at the state capitol. I think it's really important that we participate in these organizations and that we learn from our fellow commissioners from around the state and around the country and share some of the lessons that we've learned with them for the collective benefit of counties everywhere. So I want to thank my fellow commissioners for being as active as they are in these organizations. I think it's really important work and that benefits our citizens.
Thank you, Commissioner Corrigan. That's so true. I just wanted to take a moment and thank the community of Route County, in particular, the nonprofit organizations that seem to flourish and do so much good work in the community. As we looked at problems in other counties, when I looked at some of the situations that was happening with mental health in our other counties, and I look at our county and that the fact that private citizens form organizations to step up to the plate to meet the needs of their community, it says a lot about this community and the people that live in it. They aren't going to sit there and wait for someone to solve their problems. They'll identify that problem, they will find like-minded people to work with them, and they will attack that problem. And I'd also, at this point in time, just like to thank everybody that attended the Masquerade Ball this weekend and donated so freely. It's a tradition in this county that something we should be very proud of. We take care of ourselves. Thank you.
Well, just wanted to say a quick thank you to our commissioners for their time, and also thank you to everyone listening today. We always appreciate questions and topics of interest from our listeners. So if you have a specific question for the commissioners, please email it to info@co.route.co.us. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Route County Commissioners Radio Roundtable.